Job, soul winning, and so prayer is everybody's job. Consecration to God is everybody's job. Learning the Word of God is everybody's job. So there's plenty to keep us busy. Amen. Plenty. Let me just give you this. If you don't know what God wants you to do, just start out with doing the basics. You know that's right. How many think prayer's right? Believe that's the will of God, then pray. Amen. How many believe reading the Bible's right? Start out just by reading your Bible. It's nice to be friendly and nice to people. Just be nice and friendly to people. And you'll be amazed what doors that will open. Be concerned about people. Care about people. Amen. Be open to help people. And if you can just start doing that, you'll be amazed how easily the will of God's going to open up to you. And you'll just start finding things. Praise God. How many have had somebody come along and just give you a smile and it just really made your day? Just something like a smile, a kind word. All those things, you see, that's all part of just doing the will of God. Just being a Christian. A real, genuine, sweet, Holy Ghost-filled, joyful, peaceful Christian. Amen. Those are honest, wonderful things. And so all of that. Humility, it's like all of the gifts of the Spirit and the things we do for God. Its motive is in love. If we do anything for any other reason than love, it's the wrong reason. I know some people, we get our feelings hurt because we do nice stuff for people and nobody does anything for us. Well, if we're doing it for any other reason than just because we want to do it and because it's the love of God in us, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. And you're opening yourself up to get hurt. Well, I did it for them. They ought to do something for me. Where's that written? I hadn't found that in the Bible. Have you? Nope, it's not in there. There's no guarantee when you do something for somebody else, they're going to do something good for you. The easiest way in the world to get hurt is to act out of that motive. Well, if I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do this and I'll do that, then they'll do this, and then you're going to get hurt right there. You got to do it. Jesus said, do it as unto him. I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to do it because it's pleasing to God. I want to do it because it's going to help somebody. And I'll just simply find my joy in helping and in serving. Not what somebody else does for me, but what I can do for somebody else. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He found joy and fulfillment in service. Helping somebody else. Blessing somebody else. You see, that's where his meat was. That's where his strength was. That's what humility is. Humility, you're just simply acting, doing the will of God out of a heart of love, and you're just doing it. It just flows naturally. That's what Jesus did, right? The Bible said he just went around doing good. He just went around healing sick folks. Amen. He just went around helping people. It was just him. That's humility. That's what it does. That's how it acts. It doesn't have its feelings on its sleeve. Let's let that one soak a little bit. Amen. Humility doesn't get upset if nobody calls you. Nobody comes to see you. You see what the problem is? You. That's the problem right there. When everything's based on self, you're going to get hurt. Humility doesn't look at self. Again, it's not worried about what's coming in. It's about what's going out. Amen. All right, so humility. Humility then is recognizing that all of my talents come from God. All of my abilities come from God. That defeats pride. Amen. No matter how good you can preach or how good you can sing or how good you can play an instrument or how good you can do whatever you do, that's not the point. The point is you do it well, but God gave you the talent and you give God the glory. Right? Amen. So we thank God. We should all try to do the very best we can with what we have. That's our gift to God. We just, whatever we can do, we just do the best we can with it. Amen. And I've used this illustration before, but please allow me to do it again. for the sake of clarification, maybe understanding here. I learned a lesson early in life about preaching. I was privileged to go on a missions, one of the very first evangelism tours at Texas Bible College. We went to a very large church in Beaumont, and it was my privilege to preach that Sunday morning in that very large church, and I was very new at preaching, and I did the best that I guess I thought I knew how, and man, when I got through preaching, I felt so bad. I thought I did horrible. I made a mess out of things, and I was over there feeling sorry for myself. And God was filled 8 people with the Holy Ghost that morning while I was over there feeling sorry for myself. You see, what God was saying was, son, this is not about you. You made a mess, but I took that mess and look what I did with it. It's not about you, son. You quit licking your wounds and feeling sorry for yourself and you get out there and get to work. Not about you. If you've done good, then there's pride. If you sit on there and think, man, woo, look what I did. Yeah? Then you got a pride issue. And here I had an inferiority issue. Amen. We got middle, that humility is that middle ground. That doesn't worry about how good I did, doesn't worry about how bad I did. All it is looking at what God's going to do. What God's going to do. Amen. And so he did. And he did an awesome work. And it hopefully taught me a lesson, though I have to relearn that from time to time. But humility is recognizing God's gifts and God's blessings on our lives and the talents that God's given us. And giving God thanks for that because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. So Jesus then taught us that we need to be humble. That's the gateway. That's where we start. We start out being childlike. Lord, I need you. I'm dependent. We got to understand that. I'm dependent. Amen. Somebody said, when do you stop getting nervous about preaching? Well, I'll let you know when that happens. It hadn't happened yet. Amen. People always ask me, you ready? I said, well, you'll know in a few minutes whether I'm ready or whether I'm not. Amen. We'll know when this is over if I was ready or wasn't. Praise God. Amen. One pastor asked a young evangelist, he said, do you want to eat before church or after? He said, well, I'd like to eat after. He said, I always preach better before I eat. So after service, the pastor's wife said, how do you think you did? And he said, should have ate. Wouldn't have been any loss. but we just got to do the best we can. Amen. And give it to the Lord. And so humility is keeping self out of it. We can just keep self out of things. That's the key to it. Amen. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 7, he said, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. If there was ever a generation that needs to hear that and understand that. And then he goes on to say, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Here's the key. For God resisteth the proud. Boy, that's a powerful picture, isn't it? God's like he's like a big old guard. He's out there, he's all squatted down, weighs 300,000 pounds. He's saying, all right, son, come through me. If you're not getting anywhere in life and you keep feeling resistance, you might want to check your attitude and your spirit. What does it say? God resists the proud. He holds you back. You're not going anywhere. As long as you got that attitude, you're not making any progress. That's a powerful picture, isn't it? Amen. Powerful picture. We used to have a couple of dogs. One of them was a little poodle that, well, I don't know what happened to him before we got him, but something happened when his front leg was pinned and he ran around on 3 legs. But that little old black dog, he had attitude. Man, he had attitude. He thought he was Tyrannosaurus Rex and everything get out of his way. Amen. Kind of lived in a bad mood, you know. Then we had a big old German shepherd dog. And that little old poodle would, he'd run into that German shepherd. He'd get so mad at him. Boy, he'd start barking and snarling. And that German shepherd would take his big old paw and he'd just smash him down to the ground. And he'd hold him there. And that little old poodle would wiggle and squirm, do everything he could. And he'd just stand there holding him down. And just looking bored. And finally, when the little dog would finally give up, he'd say, okay, and then he'd let him up. Amen. It reminded me of this picture. You know, you tell God what you're going to do and everybody else what you're going to do. And you have they like that. And you feel resistance. And God said, all right, when you settle down, I'll let you up. When you come back down to earth, amen, you get real, I'll let you up. Amen. So God resists the proud, Scripture says. And then it says, but he, what does it say? He said that he exalts the humble. Amen. He gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I like grace better than I do resistance. Amen. God gives grace. He gives divine help. He gives divine anointing to the humble. But he resists the proud. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Get this key. In due time. When it's right. When the time's right. When you're right. When you're ready. God's got to be careful about exalting people. Right? God's got to be careful about getting us in certain positions too quick. I have seen people destroyed by that. I'm not saying God put them in the position. I'm saying people put them in the position. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You can put somebody sometimes in a position and it'll destroy them. Until they had a position and a title, they were all right. But they got a little position, a little bit of a title, and man, they just went crazy with it. Didn't need nobody, not submitted to anybody. Amen. Praise God. They just thought they were the boss, applesauce. Amen. And just attitude. Amen. You got to be careful. God knows when to exalt you. If he hasn't exalted you, there's reason for it. Amen. Praise God. He knows when you're ready. And then it said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I love that part of that verse, don't you? James said it this way. He said, for he giveth more grace. Say, more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. That sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Now, I like this. Now, here's a real key. This is vital. Verse 7, he said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit is another way of saying humble. Humble yourselves. Submit yourselves unto God. James chapter 4 verse 6 is where we are. Sorry. James 4 verse 6 and then verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Now, and then the next thing he said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How many have heard that part about resisting the devil? But how many knew you had to submit first? You know, so I've heard that last part all my life. Dress the devil, he'll flee from you. Well, not until you do that first part. The devil's not scared of you. You can't resist him until first you submit yourself to God. What happens when you submit yourself to God? Then he's fighting against God, not you. Amen. He can resist you, but he can't resist God. So if you humble yourself and you submit yourself, then you're working in God's authority, in God's power, in God's grace. And there's no way that he can combat that. There's no way that he can stand against that. You will overcome because you have submitted yourself to God. And you're not working in your power. And you're not working in your might. And you're not working for yourself. Amen. And he'll flee from you. He said, draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Don't you love that part of that verse? That means if I draw close to God, God's going to draw close to me. How do you get God close to him? You draw near to him. How do you do that? With praise. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need you. Amen. Now, unless something's wrong with you, unless something's wrong, if you see a little old child come up with her hands up like this and tears running down their little old cheeks and they got their hands up and they're saying, I love you. I need a hug. Unless something's seriously wrong with you, you can't resist that. There's just something in your heart that sees that submission, that simplicity, that innocence, that beauty, and that unfeigned love, and it causes you to reach out and pick them up. And if Johnny Grissom can have that in his heart, God has that in his heart. So when I draw to him with that same simplicity, that same sincerity, that same unfeigned love, and I begin to pour out my heart and my soul before God, he cannot and will not resist that. He'll reach down. He'll draw near. He'll pick us up. He'll embrace us because God cannot he cannot look past that. So that's how you get close to God. Cleanse your hands, your sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. I remember years ago, Sister Vesta Mangan said, God will never stoop or never stumble, will never stumble over an intercessor. If God finds you praying and interceding, he will not stumble over you, but he will always stop and pick you up. There's something about humility. It's the gateway to greatness. It's the gateway to greatness. It's how you get into the Spirit of God. It's how anybody can be used of God. Anybody can be used of God if we humble ourselves. That's the number one key. Amen. People go all the time to seminars about how to, you know, how to be used of God and how to be this and how to be that and how to do this and how to do that. Amen. But if we'll just learn to humble ourselves, it's amazing what God will do. That's got to be first. I'm not against seminars. I'm not against trying to learn everything I can learn. I've been to a bunch of them myself. Amen. But the number one thing, if I cannot humble myself, if my motive is wrong, amen. Brother Neil, if I just want to be a great preacher for the sake of being a great preacher, and if I just want to have my name known, I'm wrong in doing that. Amen. First of all, I've got to be humble. It's got to be about him. It's got to be for the kingdom's sake. That's what it's got to be. It can't be about Johnny Grissom. It's got to be about Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Humility is vital because it is the gateway to greatness. Amen. Let me look here quickly at this part we started with. This is so awesome, I think. Some of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2. Let's begin with verse number 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. How many believe that there's consolation in Jesus Christ? Or any comfort of love? Anybody been comforted by the love of God? Amen. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, compassion. Okay. He said, fulfill you my joy that you may that ye be like-minded, having the same love. What same love? The same love as Jesus Christ. Being of one accord, one mind. Amen. Be of one mind, one accord. That's what the scripture said. And then he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Amen. Sometimes we can go about the work of God like the proverbial bull in a china closet. I'm going to get this done. I heard a preacher one time, heard about a preacher, I didn't actually hear him, but I heard about him. He went to a church and he said, we're going to have revival. He said, you don't like me and I don't like you, but we're going to have revival around here. Well, that's not the way to approach it. That's what I'd call building on strife just a little bit, you know. But some people, you know, they're trying to build the work of God with strife. Amen. They're always agitating and stirring stuff up. So don't be like that. It seemed like I read something about blessed are the peacemakers. Everybody say peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers. Amen. Not strife makers. And vainglory. Vainglory is, it's all about me. Amen. Amen. Wasn't that a great sermon? What do you think about me? What do you think about my sermon? Huh? It's good, wasn't it? Vainglory. Amen. Vainglory. There's one great preacher. Everybody knows him. He's big on TV, I guess, and I've told his. And you know what? Every service, before he comes out, they play "How Great Thou Art." I just love that. To me, it defines the man. He said, don't work in vainglory. Amen. That's not it either. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Now, to do this sincerely, now, this is not talking about low self-esteem. I think another place in the Bible that said, prefer your brother. Amen. It's just thinking about other people, being conscious, being kind. Amen. And allowing them to get in the limelight. And you can kind of step back in the shadow. And it's just thinking about others. Just thinking about others. That's the whole point here. Just thinking about your brothers and your sisters and treating them right. That's what he's talking about. He said, look not every man on his own things. You know, if we're not careful, we can get so caught up in our own stuff that we don't see anybody else, anybody else's needs. All I'm concerned about is me. And it's all about me, what I want, what I'm doing, and my thing. Amen. There's no place in church for that. There's no place in Christianity for that. Amen. Praise God. That's good, Brother Grissom. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe everybody needs to support everybody. Right? I think when we have a Sunday school meeting, everybody ought to participate with Sunday school. If we're doing something for Sunday school, let's all participate. If we're doing it for youth, let's all participate. If we're doing it for ladies' ministries, let's all do it. If we're doing it for men's ministry, let's all do it. That's everybody. We don't have any particular. We're not in. I'm not real comfortable with the word divisions anyway. Sunday school division. Well, we don't divide anything here. The youth division. No, let's don't call it that. Let's call it a department or something else. Ministry is a better word. Sunday school ministry, youth ministry. Right? Because you get all these divisions, you got problems. Amen. I understand why we use certain words, but I'm just saying that we've got to guard against certain things. He said, don't just look on your own stuff. Look at your brother too. See what your brother, not just what you're locked in on. Take care of your brother. Don't get so lost in your own stuff that you don't look at other people and help other people. Don't you think we got more problem with that than we used to have? How many of you remember a day when people used to help people more? Why don't we do it now? Let's don't just talk about it. Let's do it. That was good, Brother Grissom. Sneaky, but it was good. Huh? Let's just don't talk about the old days. Let's go ahead and do it. No reason you can't, right? If you can do it then, we can do it now. Praise God. We can help one another. Praise God. So I'm talking about humility here. Now here's the awesomeness of this verse. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's another verse that says, we have the mind of Christ. When you get the Holy Ghost, God puts his mind in you. Now listen, this is the mind of Christ. This verse is not the easiest to understand, at least for me. Verse 6, he said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now that's, I don't know about you, but I have a problem getting my mind around that. What is that saying? This is what it said. It said, even though he was God, he did not cling to, grasp, or demand that I'm God. Bless your heart. You listen to me. I'm God, buddy. Right? I've seen people with that same spirit. They didn't say they were God, but bless God, I'm the pastor. That's why. That's not this spirit. That's not the mind of Christ. He was God. But he didn't go around beating people up because he's God. He didn't hang on that and say, I'm God, that's why. Nope, that wasn't the way he did it. Wasn't the way he did it. Listen to what it said. It said even though he's God, he was God, no doubt about that. But he didn't cling to that. He didn't hang on to that. He didn't force that on people. He didn't demand people, because I'm God. That wasn't it. He said, but he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's a vital key right there. Brother Fry, he humbled himself. Amen. Don't you know who I am? That's a key that you don't have the key to greatness yet. Right? You know? You may not say that, but sometimes we think, you know, if you knew who I was, buddy. That's not the mind of Christ. Amen. You know who you are? I'm going to tell you who you are. You're a servant. Let me tell you something else. And this is going to be shocking. In America, servants don't have rights. It's all about rights, isn't it? Rights, rights, it's my right, my right, my right, my right, my right. No. We don't have any rights. Jesus didn't go around talking about his rights. He humbled himself. The Bible said, like a sheep before the shearer, like a lamb before the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. Oh, he could have. He could have. Song said he could have called 10,000 angels. They were standing at the ready. But he didn't call. He humbled himself. And it said became, listen to this here, and became obedient. Everybody say obedient. Man, that's a tough word. Obedient. Amen. You know, that's not an easy thing to do either. When your flesh is crying out to do something, you say, Your tongue, it wants to say something so bad. And you got to say, No. I could tear you to shreds, but I'm not going to. I'm going to humble myself. Right? I'm talking about humility, the gateway to greatness. And gateway to greatness is to bite your tongue and hold it back and be obedient. He said he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Or he didn't have to. Of all the people that didn't have to die, Jesus was the only one. He was the only one that was not subject to death and did not have to die. But he died because he humbled himself and he was obedient. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, look at this next portion. Wherefore? When you see wherefore, that's what it's there for. It refers you to the verse before. Wherefore? Because he did that. God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's it right there, isn't it? That's what humility does. If I can humble myself and be obedient, then he will reach down and he will pick me up and he will exalt me. Praise God. So it's interesting that in Christianity, the way up is down. Amen. Humbling yourself. I'm not saying putting yourself down. That's inferiority. I'm saying humbling yourself, being in control of your spirit and learning obedience. That's the great key to life, and that's a great key to greatness. Amen. Praise God. When greatness is not your goal. That's not what you're striving for. You're not striving to be great, but God just makes you great. That's the key and the gateway to greatness. Amen. Let me hurry along here. I'm going to finish this up real quick. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, I want to save everybody. I want to help everybody be saved. But I can't work out your salvation. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. You have to work it out. I can't humble you. You've got to humble yourself. I can't be obedient for anybody else. I have a hard time getting Johnny Griffin to be obedient. This is a full-time job right here. This 200 none of your business pounds that I deal with every day. For it is God which worketh in you. Isn't that great? Everybody say, God's working in me. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God gives you the want to, and then God gives you the ability. Amen. To do his will, do his pleasure. Do all things. Here it is. Look at this. Doing all things without murmurings and disputings. Isn't that good? It's all, hey, you talking about impossible here, man, but that's good stuff. Amen. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Amen. Humility. It's great. It's the gateway to greatness if we can humble ourselves as Jesus did. I think of a story I read years ago. It was a story of a little boy in school, and it was Valentine's time. He was not very popular. He didn't have a lot of friends. But the night before Valentine's Day, he sat down at his table, and he got his paper and his glue and his crayons, and he began to create Valentines for his schoolmates. And he made Valentines. Until finally he finished his job. He put them all up. The next day he went to school. And his mom was watching because she knew that he was not very popular at school. Kids, for some reason, you know how it is, they just didn't like him. And she watched him as he came. And she already had hot cookies and warm and cold milk ready for him on the table because she knew it was going to be a tough day. And she watched him, and as she saw him, when he turned the corner and walking down the sidewalk, he was walking with his head down. He was mumbling something. And as he got a little closer, she could hear him. And he was saying, not one, not even one, not one, not even one. And when she heard that, her heart just broke. She thought, my little honey worked so hard to include everybody, and he didn't even get a Valentine. And whenever he saw his mama, he raised his head, and a big old smile broke over his face. And he said, Mom! He said, not one. I didn't forget anybody. I made one for everybody. You see, he wasn't thinking about himself. His mind was on what he could give, not on what he was going to get. That's humility. That's humility. That's humility. That's the gateway to greatness. Let's stand together. Amen. Ask God to help us today. Amen. I'd like to be, by God's grace, I want to work on humility. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's something that we have to work on all the time because this flesh always wants to rise up. Obedience. It's something we have to work on every day. Amen. And I don't have time. There's a whole other facet to this I didn't get into. False humility. We could have covered that. We don't have time to do that tonight. Maybe later. But I don't want to be false something. And I ask God to help me. I don't want to be false anything. How about you? I don't want to be false anything. Let's ask God to help us today.